This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
And you touched on the A-League. We are now joined by the Guardians, Jonathan Howcroft. Jonathan, thank you so much for coming on Evenings on FNR.
Pleasure. Good evening. Good to speak to you both.
It's great to speak to you too. And Jonathan, something that's been throughout the headlines over the past week has been the fact that Perth Glory ended their 15-year drought and finally brought some silverware back to the West. How do you think this will bode for the club in the coming weeks? Two final matches and then into the final series itself, but they've got a week off. Do you think it's wise for Tony Popovich to potentially rest some key players, or should it be business as usual?
It's a good question. I think you'd need to see the internal data about how close to the red line some of those players are. They've got a deep squad. They've got plenty of talent to spread around if they do want to just freshen a few people up. But I think sealing the title so early in the season really comparatively is fantastic for them, because it means that they can have a proper celebration. And I think we saw the other night as full-throated a premiership celebration as we've seen, really, and I, for one, endorse that wholeheartedly. So good on them for doing that. And now they can refocus for the championship and the finals race. So I think they're in a fantastic position as they've earned the right to be in after a successful season.
Jonathan, it's Nick here, and you spoke about refocusing for the championship, but one thing that Perth Glory might not have, and even with Tony Popovich compared to the victory in Sydney, is getting it done at the pointy end of the season. Do you think that will come into play at all, or do you think that's completely out of the window, considering it's a much different team and potentially Popovich has evolved as a manager?
I don't, personally, because you look through that team and you've got Tony Pignatta as chief executive, Jacob Burns as football operations director, you've got Tony Popovich as coach. You go through the team, you've got Neil Kilkenny, Diego Castro, Andy Keogh. These are really seasoned serial winners, and they're not going to be fazed by this stage of the season. To them, this is why they play the game. They're not going to have any butterflies whatsoever. For them, I guess it's the icing on the cake. You know, they've put in this hard work from pre-season onwards, and they've been building towards this, and that's what makes that caliber of player and that caliber of leader get up in the morning. So yeah, I wouldn't worry about them at all. It doesn't feel, without wanting to sound disrespectful in comparison, you compare it to Newcastle Jets of last season, and there was a sense of, oh my goodness, where's this come from? We're not expecting this success. This has come maybe a season too soon. And I think we've seen this season that the gap between the best and the worst for some of that squad is quite dramatic. Whereas with Perth Glory, the ceiling is very high, but the base is also very high as well. So they're never going to drop that far off. I think from a finals perspective, that the only risk really that they've got is that in both Melbourne Victory and Sydney FC, they've got two opponents who on their day can perform at an extraordinarily high level. We saw it with Sydney FC in the Asian Champions League last week. We've seen it on a number of occasions with Melbourne Victory, particularly when that forward combination with Honda and Poivinen and Barbarousis and Troisi all click at the same time. They're a very, very dangerous proposition. But I think both Sydney and Melbourne Victory will have to really push their limits. In Perth, we've seen throughout the season, they just, you know, their third or fourth gear is normally good enough.
And you spoke about the victory, but their neighbours, Melbourne City, are once again forefront of the news today, with Warren Joyce in particular rumoured to have signed a one-year extension. It's all but done. Do you think that this is a little bit almost left field, considering almost the word this whole year has been that he's going to be off? He might be going back to Manchester or Wellington. Do you think this is just extremely surprising to you personally?
I think it's baffling for a whole host of reasons. I mean, firstly, they've not performed particularly well. There's no evidence that they're developing a particularly cohesive style, which would suggest that the coach would be in line for another contract. It doesn't seem as though they're really executing what the master plan would appear to be, which would either be being an out-and-out success story like Perth Glory have done this season, or bringing through young players as part of that model to allow the Melbourne arm of the City Football Group to service the mothership. They don't appear to be doing either. They've lost players consistently. Now, whether you could put that down as a positive for Warren Joyce for this cultural rebuild, this cultural reset, or you could say it's just, you know, further example of how unsuited he is as a coach for the task in hand. Clearly, the Melbourne City fans don't want him. They've not been happy with the football they've seen over the past couple of seasons. It just feels a very confused reappointment, if that is the case. And you know, hints at further confusion further up the chain for Melbourne City. You know, we know that they suffer appallingly from player turnover. So what is the strategy? What is the medium long-term vision? It just seems so confused.
Certainly does. And Melbourne City take on Wellington Phoenix this weekend. How do you see that playing out, given Wellington Phoenix are also in a position where there's a bit of uncertainty? It's now been made clear that Mark Rudin won't be hanging around next season. Also, it's been widely speculated that he will be joining Western United. Those rumours and reports to be confirmed, though. But how would you feel being a Wellington Phoenix player coming so far this season already to now being told that your manager won't be around as you head into one of your first final series in a long time?
Yeah, I think it depends how they've handled that internally, which isn't clear yet. I think we can assume that some players have been aware of this for some time. If you read between the lines of potential future Western United signings. But I don't know. I think sometimes we need to give people a bit of slack. You look well into Phoenix have been in recent seasons. What Mark Rudan has done is extraordinary. So hopefully the players themselves recognise how incredible their season has been, and that there's still another job to do, and that if it is just a one year hit, then so be it. That the players themselves will recognise that their careers at different clubs can be curtailed at the whim of a change of coach or a new owner or whatever, and that's the case for someone like Rudan. He had to wait for this opportunity. He probably took the most challenging assignment in the A-League. And if it had gone wrong for him this year, as form would have suggested it would have from a Phoenix point of view, then his professional managerial career could have ended pretty much before it had begun. So I'd like to think that the spirit that they've brought through their good performances can carry them through this next step. It seems obvious that they've hit a bit of a speed hump, but hopefully now everything is out in the open and they can they can refocus for one finals campaign and maybe even spur them on. You know that this is the last assignment for this particular collective. But yeah, I think Rudan just deserves nothing but credit for what he's achieved.
And there's an equally big game this weekend, in particular, when you look at Adelaide United and Melbourne Victory, the original derby, considering that the winner is going to put themselves in a position where one could have the week off and the other could obviously get a home final. How do you see this one playing out? Because in particular, Adelaide, they're starting to look a little bit better, but still lacking a bit of cutting edge, and the Melbourne Victory are grinding out results. Do you see that this one will be another one of the classics we've seen these two dish out in the past?
It's always difficult to predict something like that, but I, from a Victory point of view, I think it just depends what their squad fitness is like, because they've had such a punishing few weeks that we know how good they are when they're at their very, very best. But do they have the legs to see them through this final portion of the season? It's incredibly tough balancing Asian Champions League and an A-League campaign at the same time with the limited availabilities that A-League squads have. And with Adelaide United, you know, it's a broken record, isn't it? We know their capabilities defensively and in midfield and how attractive they can look in the final third. They just can't put the ball in the back of the net. So from week to week, it just depends on whether they can, you know, whether somebody can pop up and get the goal or two that they need to actually secure the 3 points. And there's still no indication yet that they've got that proven goal scorer. So on a match-to-match basis, they're a difficult, you know, they're a difficult side to say confidently how they're going to perform. I think I'd back victory over a series of matches, just simply because there's more quality in that team. But at this stage of the season, with you know, like I say, with the difficulty of knowing exactly what victory they've got left in the tank, it becomes a bit closer.
And Jonathan, elsewhere in the game, Football Federation Australia also ticked off the new league's working group report, I believe. What can you tell us about this?
Sorry, I just lost connection with you for a second. Just repeat the question.
Just the new league's working group report that Football Federation Australia have ticked off?
Yes. So the way this the process of the whole new league's working group operates, the decision tree, if you like, is that the new league's working group hands down the recommendations. The FFA board then has the opportunity to intervene or rubber stamp. And what they've done this week is rubber stamp the new league's working group recommendations. So there's no further interjection as far as the governing body is concerned. They're happy with how the process has gone so far. And if you compare that to the previous administration led by Stephen Lowy, who were vehemently against it and indicated that it was against their fiduciary duties to support that process. That's clearly not the case with this administration. All that remains now is for the new league's working group to figure out its final report by the 30th of June, and then for the member federations to figure out whether they're happy with what that looks like and whether they can negotiate terms of settlement within a time frame that allows this new entity to exist in time for next season. But we're really moving to the end game now. This process that started, you know, months, if not years ago now, with the whole governance reformation piece, we're at the very, very final stage where it's up to the member federations to decide the fate of the future of Australian football.
Well, Jonathan, we must thank you very much for joining us here once again on Evenings on FNR. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday and enjoy the Easter.
Thank you very much. Good to speak to you both.